Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie's helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. My latest project, tree trimming for our phone lines into the radio show. I mean, any home improvement you need, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website is free to use.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Happy, happy hour. Former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh triggers all my daddy issues, as you know.
He triggers me too.
Right? And also, he on MSNBC last week, he admitted that he used to be a divisive asshole. And he said asshole.
Yep.
And then I fell even deeper in love with that asshole. Mm-hmm. Because at least he has rejected his former assholiness and has come to the light on Donald Trump.
Yes, he has.
And democracy.
Yes, he has.
So we welcomed him. And also, I love his Friday Night Tequila tweets because they're quite hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, Amy Yazbek,
yes.
My old co-star from I've Got a Secret, about her work with the John Ritter Foundation. She's doing such important work. And could she be more beautiful and funny and smart? She is amazing.
And no, she will not shut up about your aorta.
No, nor should she.
No.
All right. Happy, happy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Former GOP Congressman Joe Walsh. Hi, Joe Walsh.
Hey, Stephanie Miller, I mean this. It's great to be with you, and I have been a fan of yours from afar.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, I think when you called yourself a divisive hole on Nicole Wallace last week is when I finally fell hopelessly in love. There's nothing that makes a woman hotter than a man admitting he was wrong. And I just have to say...
I should be extremely hot, Stephanie, because that's all I've been doing for 6 years.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Joe, for people that don't know, tell us what, because we are literally at like, oh, the rapist isn't going to pick the puppy killer now for vice president in your party. What has happened to my dad's party, to your party?
It became an authoritarian embracing cult. I know that sounds kind of trite by now, but I started saying it 4 or 5 years ago when I left the party. Steph, it's not about ideas. It's all about homage to this man, because the base of my former party is really pissed off. And this man said, I will go after the people you hate. And they've clung to him and they've never let go.
How much of it, Joe, we've mentioned this before, about people just don't want to be wrong. They don't want to feel like they've been conned. They don't want to feel like they lost. And Donald Trump plays to all of that, I guess, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Look, again, you know my history. I come from the cult. I'm a reformed MAGA gangbanger. But I still engage with these folks every day because they used to be my friends and my supporters and my radio talk show listeners. I lost them all.
Yeah, you get called the C word almost as much as I do, Joe.
Oh, my God. You and I share that, Steph. My God. I'm a traitor. I mean, when you leave your family, you become a traitor. Many of them do have a hard time admitting they're wrong, but we underestimate how strongly these folks still believe in what he is.
Okay. He is so despicable, Joe, that I can't help but think you were despicable if you support him. Yes. I just don't, we are what, 88 felonies in? I don't even know what thing to focus on anymore. We're in the first of, you know, four trials, right? You tweeted, democracy dies when you check out. Oh, they're both bad choices. Tough. Stay in the game. Vote. Then pick up a history book. Democracy needs you. I mean, really, democracy is the only issue. But I also, you know, I also take issue, Joe, with the whole, you know, lesser of two evils. We always play this audio of Lindsey Graham crying, Joe, crying back when he was Lindsey Graham about how God has never made a better man than Joe Biden.
If I could bring one person back to life, Stephanie, it would be John McCain, because John McCain would whack Lindsey Graham upside the head every damn day. Mm-hmm. What a disgrace he is. But like all of my former colleagues, look, we nothing should matter more than the preservation of our democracy, because this man would do away with it. But Stephanie, look, to his base, and I hear this every day, and I've heard it for 6 years. They've given up on democracy. Like, they want a certain America back. They don't believe the democratic process can get it back for them. So they tell me every day, they want a dictator, a strong man, to do it for them. That's scary stuff.
Yeah. It is interesting that Colin Jost talked about decency. That I really do feel like here we are, Joe. Like, have we at long last no decency in this country? I mean, I hate to say it, but Kristi Noem, cruelty has become a bug, but a feature of the Republican Party. You can go like candidate after candidate in the Republican Party.
Amen. Stephanie, when I was a Republican congressman, and especially when I was a right-wing radio talk show host, man, the crueler you were, the better. Yeah. The meaner you were, the nastier you were, your ratings went up. We were all incentivized to feed our audience, the right in America, that stuff. I couldn't take it anymore, but it works.
And let's be honest, the radio talk show host is already the lowest form of life. So
no, it doesn't really matter. By the way, this is why I love you. I love radio. I miss radio. When I opposed Trump publicly, I lost my show. Radio to me is like so intimate. And you're so good at it. So keep it up.
Thank you, honey. But we've had this conversation a million times. You know this to be true, Joe. The people have said if you would go back to your roots, to your dad's Republican roots, you'd get 500 stations tomorrow and be a multimillionaire. And I'm like, I couldn't do it.
You have syndicators tell you that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it is. But that's what's, you know, so frustrating on our side is that I'm like you. My democracy is more important to me. I mean, I look forward to the day I go back to hating you, Joe Walsh. Do you know what I'm saying? We fight about actual issues, but you are wrong about everything else.
Well, I was wrong about plenty. And I say often how I haven't changed. I've always been kind of a Tea Party libertarian. But Stephanie, I can't lie. I woke up on a lot of the cultural issues. I was a jag-off 6 years ago if you'd have said Black Lives Matter to me. Now I understand what that means because I spoke to Black Americans. I used to go crazy with the 64 different genders because my audience wanted to hear that crap. But again, so I've woken up on a lot of the cultural issues. But my right flank, they still get off on that stuff, which is why they're fed it.
Well, you personally, it's because you fell in love with a lesbian radio host.
I am in love with you. Yes. Oh, my God.
Joe, were you visited by three ghosts? Seriously, what happened to you?
Stephanie, people ask me all the time what finally changed. It really was his election. in 16. When he became president and I finally started to pay attention to him, I'd go home every night from my radio show and I'd ask my wife, my God, do I sound even a little bit like that?
Yeah.
He woke me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at you. You're woke.
Proudly woke.
Yeah.
You know, we just got talking about what's going on in college campuses, Joe, and I thought, you know, the other thing, first of all, I might be too old to understand it. I understood Vietnam. It was our war. We were sending a lot of American kids to die unnecessarily. This isn't our war. I feel like Biden is doing the best he can in a horribly difficult situation. I don't understand what Jewish kids have to do with Netanyahu's policies or Muslim kids have to do with Hamas. Do you know what I, and so I sort of am at a loss. And I do think there's a lot of, as you know, outside agitators that, you know, Republicans now want to rush in to be able to say, you know, we stand with Israel and condemn this or that. And this is the party of Charlottesville. This is a party that routinely has Nazi flags show up at their rallies, right? You know, very fine people on both sides.
I'm very pro-Israel. Look, Stephanie, this is a bad issue for Biden. It's a bad issue for the Democrats because I believe, and you and I could have a fun conversation about this, for a lot of different reasons, Republicans are very pro-Israel. But this issue divides the Democratic coalition, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. There's pervasive anti-Semitism on the left that the country is being exposed to. Stephanie, I don't think most of these student protesters are protesting because they want a ceasefire. I think a lot of them, in their mind, they just oppose Israel. They think Israel's bad. And that's a problem for Biden because he's right in the middle of it.
Netanyahu has a lot to do with that, though, Joe. I mean, that's what, you know, I guess you were, you retweeted, all of us together are confronting the shocking reality that a group of Yale students has declared the center of Yale off limits to those who do not share their political views, particularly since their intent and effect is to rid parts of Yale of Zionist Jews, among others. And you said protest, sure, but you can't be allowed to block off a piece of campus from everyone who doesn't share your views. And you just also said, newsflash to the world, Jews aren't going where Israel isn't going anywhere. Deal with it. You probably have heard me say my dad was a Nuremberg prosecutor.
Yeah.
But, you know, Donald Trump, Joe, and the Republican Party, I'm sorry, they are anti-Semitic and anti-Islamic. Whatever side of this issue you're on from any point of view, this is not your party. They are the Muslim ban party. They are the party that Nazis gravitate to. I mean, it is just, as someone was saying, this is like, there's not a basket big enough for the deplorables in your former party.
They are, Stephanie, my former party is the party of intolerance, plain and simple. Keep everybody out. The reason Trump won is because when he came down that escalator in 2015 and he said, I'm going to build a wall and keep brown and black people out, the Republican establishment went crazy, like, this is horrible. But I went on my radio show that night, and every Republican person out there loved it because they wanted that. I agree with all you're saying about the Republicans. I really do. This particular Israel issue, though, is a problem for the Democrats because they really are generally divided on how we should relate to Israel. And Biden, I think 20 years ago, Biden could have addressed it. I just don't know if he can right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And it scares the crap out of me because Donald Trump is evil. Yeah. He's anti-democracy.
Yes.
And Stephanie, if the damn election is held tomorrow, he beats Biden electorally. Mm-hmm. And that scares the piss out of me.
You're also a potty mouth, which is why I love you. You actually called yourself a divisive last week, and I love that about you. But, you know, I mean, Joe, I think that's the thing, is you and I long to get back to where we're actually talking about real issues, you know, and it's just, there's such a huge, like, fight against disinformation. I mean, we're not even dealing with one set of facts as Americans anymore. What do we do about that?
So here's the deal. I'm older than you. I'm an old guy.
Oh, now you're really trying to get in my pants.
I don't. Stephanie, man, we are starting something. I will, in my lifetime, I could never, ever run as a Republican again. I think it's done. I think that party is on this train track and it's never getting off. I'd have an easier time becoming a very conservative Democrat. We need to get back to the issues, but that party won't. I think maybe in the next couple elections, you may see a viable new center-right party.
Yeah, and then I'll hate you again. But there's something about handsome former Republican congressman that triggered my daddy issues.
Oh, God.
And I didn't yell David Jolly's name out once during this interview, have you?
There you got me.
But I say it over and over. I'm joking about, you know, my dad was the vice presidential candidate. And guess how many puppies he shot in the face, Joe? Zero. Zero. I mean,
hey, we don't know, Stephanie, we don't know if that's going to hurt her chances to be Trump's VP. I mean,
Yeah. And we've already bonded. Well, first of all, you have two beautiful labs. And then I said, I have two little, you know, Shih Tzu Yorkies. And you said, those aren't even dogs. And then I hated you again. They are dogs. I mean, but it is a bipartisan issue, you know? I mean, I'll never forget. I told the story, right, Chris, that Sean, when my beloved St. Bernard died many years ago, quite suddenly, Sean Hannity wrote to me and said, you know, because he's a big dog person, too, and he wrote and said, I'm so sorry, and whatever, and he said, can I buy you another dog? Aww. And then I went, oh! I'm a liberal. I don't buy dogs. I rescue them. Oh, I hate you.
But that was nice of him.
But it was nice.
It was nice to reach out.
Nice. Yes. That was nice.
Kennedy's an idiot. But yes. Think about this. I mean that. But Stephanie, think about this. I got elected with Kristi Noem. I got to know her pretty well. She's no dummy. Ugh. Think about what went through her head when she wrote that in her book. She believed that would help her with the base of her party.
Thank you.
She believed that.
That she bragged about it, that she thinks it's good. That someone with was there an editor going, it's real good what you did. Yeah. Tell the story about the rabbits again that you boiled. I mean, oh, Joe, go ahead.
No, here's my problem, though. This election is too close.
Yeah.
And none of Trump's trials mean anything. Him sitting his big fat ass in court every day doesn't mean anything. Somehow we all have to, this lovely coalition of you and I, Tea Party guys and good, decent progressives, got to come together and carry Biden across the finish line.
And listen, people like Michael Steele, at least they're honest. He has told me he is the scorpion that is going to sting me when we get to the other side of the river.
Oh, he's a big puppy. He won't sting. By the way, I will protect you, Stephanie.
You protect me from Michael Steele, that mean man. Okay. My dad was RNC chair, too, so I got so many daddy issues going on. You have no idea. Joe Walsh, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Wanting to get you on forever, and thanks for just caring about, you know, just country over party, about democracy, about decency, as Colin Jost would say, right? Mm-hmm.
You rock, Stephanie. Thanks.
No, you rock, Joe Walsh. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. Love you. See you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Fail Better. David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Beautiful actress Amy Yazbek, my old friend from I've Got a Secret on the Oxygen Network, and just general awesomeness. Hi, honey.
Dad?
Hi, honey.
How are you?
Oh, I've missed you madly.
I'm wide gained a weight.
You look a little shocked, actually.
I am a little shocked. I'm shocked because I'm looking at myself, which it's the kind of thing actors do. And I've turned into the old lady that wears pigtails.
You do not look a day older than when we did I've Got a Secret on Oxygen Network.
Let's something. It's a little thing called makeup, lighting, and I think there's a filter on this Zoom. Do I have a cat on my head?
Don't use the cat filter.
Okay.
Anyway.
Was that the fun,
you
Stephanie?
Are the
Stephanie,
smartest.
Wait. Remember the cat filter guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
How was that not the funniest thing that ever happened?
It still is.
Cat like did his look.
It still is. It's always funny.
I mean, even if AI takes over and we're all robots or whatever, it was worth it for that.
Yeah.
Welcome that to my TED Talk.
That and every newscaster having to say pecker endlessly is just my favorite thing in life right now.
Especially Jeffrey Toobin when they would cut to him.
Yes.
and they'd say something pecker and he's like, here it comes, here it comes. And it never happened.
Oh, no.
It's different than what actually happened.
Dreading the Chiron, the pecker Chiron underneath him. Okay. All right, let me just say, you're the smartest, prettiest, funniest girl in the world. You were always the one that guessed everything on I've Got a Secret.
Here's the thing. Everybody who saw that show knows how much fun that was, and we had fun. That was a crazy show that made me know that I should be a profiler or something. And then I'm not. I'm just an actor and a whatever else I am. I didn't know that about myself.
That cast, so Terry Garr, Jim J. Bullock, you brought your husband, John Ritter, as a guest star one time. And
he's the Ritter.
But I got to say, that was one of the most wonderful experiences of my life, getting to work with both of you guys. I've said it just over and over. You're not only so smart, so funny, but so nice, both of you. And I just I always talk about you and John and Stella in Hair and Makeup. And I've got a secret, because you were the best, funniest parents. I remember you guys doing Jerry Lewis to Stella together. And
I'm going to lay in something right now.
Okay.
That I could probably only lay in on this show, and be that as it may. That kid you're talking about is now a handsome young man.
Oh okay. Man. I did not know. How old is he?
He's 25 years old.
Oh, God, we're old. Oh, God, we're old.
And he's a writer and everything else.
Wow.
The comedy and the weirdness lay-in is always there.
Oh.
Yeah.
As we know, gender doesn't matter.
Nope.
Being able to do a crossword in pen does. No, just kidding. Welcome to my welcome.
Or just to my I seriously wonder what it would be like. You were the funniest parents. You seriously both at the same time were like, hey, Stella, hey, lady, look over here. And I was like, God.
I don't know. And it's, you know, of course, horrible. John died 19. Well, I remember when this was all orange groves as far as the eye could see. You ever start to say 20 something, but you say 19, like somebody goes, what happened in 19? And people are like, 1900s? It's like, yeah.
Did you just become Lillian Gish?
She did.
Yes.
I have to say, I know it's just because the news cycles are so horrible, and just, you know, rapists running for president and puppy killers. And I just have to say,
when I heard the puppy killer thing, I thought of you and like how your head must explode. I just remember you like dogs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, there's a lot of dog lovers in this guy. Yeah. Who knew it's wildly unpopular shooting puppies in the face? Who would have seen that?
Her enough to say, that's cool, put that in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She didn't check in with no publisher, no editor.
Yeah.
No, nobody went, you might want to.
Yeah. Not. Leave that
okay,
out.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway,
this is not my TED Talk.
But anyway, I don't know why there's so many stories about you and John and it just stick in my head, but you were just dealing with loss. The way you talked about it was just so moving. I think you talked about laying in bed with Stella. Do you remember that story? And can you tell the story? Was she lifted her hands up?
Oh my God. Are you going, you're going back to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a crazy moment of I think, a kid trying to wrap their head around developmentally what death is. Yeah. And you and I still can't probably wrap our heads around. But for a child, it was just like, drop them. Mm-hmm. It was like heaven.
Right.
And I was really like laying in religion or anything, but you definitely, no atheists in a foxhole or when your husband dies and you're trying to explain it to your five-year-old.
Yeah. And you said, Daddy went to heaven. She was just like, drop him. And you said, what are you doing? And I'm just telling God to drop him, give him back.
And that doesn't work, it turns out.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It doesn't work. But so in lieu of magical thinking, I went to my nerdy practical science thinking. And the minute I heard, which I did not hear on the night that he passed away, you know, because he died from a misdiagnosed aortic dissection, treated for a heart attack, which is kind of, it's not kind of the opposite. It's in your chest. That's about all it has in common.
Yeah.
Like a heart attack is a block in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you treat someone for a block in their heart, but they're actually dying from a tear in their aorta, everything you do for it
is wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, very, very common for aortic dissections to be treated as other things. God forbid you are, you know, you come in with chest pain and you are darker than a paper bag, drug seeking.
Yeah.
Or it's all in your head. Is this a rough period this week?
Amy,
I've heard it all.
I haven't talked about, this is 40 years ago, I haven't talked about my dad a lot, but, you know, my dad had just lost vision in a right eye a couple times. You know, that's a sign of, you know, possibly a stroke, blockage.
Yeah.
So he went in for an angiogram, which is just the test. It was like right after I graduated USC, he went in for the test, the angiogram, and they hit a clot going in. It sprayed clots all over his body, caused a stroke and a coma and then death. And I mean, we always suspected a medical mistake.
So, yeah. John died during the angiogram, because the angiogram is where they're looking for your heart attack that they've diagnosed. I'm going to get now the TED Talk.
Thanks for coming.
Splash. What is the chest pain, and they just go for it. John didn't have an X-ray, which is not the gold standard, but there's, you do see it. You actually don't see the aorta being aneurysmal or big. You see everything else moving out of the way. It's called I call it the Gloria Steinem, because I try to remember it, the mediastinum, whatever it's called, the stuff in there. We have to have the mnemonic devices for the ADHD of us.
Yeah.
And no, that, no echo, no nothing. It's like a little bit overweight, 50. He was about to turn 55 the next week.
Oh.
Walks in and they go, chest pain, heart attack, boom. And that's how it happens a lot of times. The angiogram they were doing, right? You go up through the groin, through the aorta.
Yes.
To put dye, look in the heart. And sadly, I mean, they showed that at the trial.
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day. So that was great on 2008.
Amy, we went through the same thing where one doctor's like, well, in retrospect, maybe we should have gone in a different way. Like, are you saying, oops, sorry, we killed your dad? Like, and I remember, you know, we all thought like we maybe should do a lawsuit to prevent other families from going through this. And my mom didn't want to. She didn't want to look like, you know, she was trying to make money off of it. But I mean, it is heartbreaking.
I got so much crap, and yet it brought so much attention to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people were immediate. Cause honestly, I didn't think I'd be, look, I'm wearing pigtails. I still think I'm a kid. I'm an idiot. But the 20 years that have gone by, and it's not like in a blink of an eye, it's like every day I talk about John. I've set myself up.
Yeah.
Every day I talk about John. Every day I talk to people. I have hundreds and hundreds of like families.
But you're helping. You're helping so many people. I mean, that's the thing. It's just you're. I know it's your pain, but you've turned it into.
It is weird, but it. Yes, I'm just, and so much awareness has come out of it, and research. I mean, we make money to fund research, millions of dollars worth of research, and there's even a. There's John. Oh, we didn't even say.
I was just going to say.
Foundation for aortic health.
Yes, John Ritter Foundation. You're doing an Evening of the Heart fundraiser May 9th at the Sunset Room here in LA. You can go to John Ritter Foundation.org. But
we've linked to it on all of your social media.
But Amy, talk a little more about what the John Ritter Foundation is and what it does.
Foundation immediately started after he died, and people were like started like sending, in lieu of flowers, here's $50, $100, and the first tranche of it went to, is it, that's the word, and it yeah. is, but I have to act like I don't know, because if I get something else wrong, makes sense. What? Wow. USC Theater Company, I didn't know, you know, theater program, which was great. And then in the intervening months, somebody, there was like a lady going, oh, my husband died, check out at Long's Drugstore in Brentwood. Yeah. And it's like, my husband had the same thing, aortic dissection. I'm like, oh, so sorry. She's like, no, he's in the car. He's waiting to pick me up after my shift. I'm like, you can live? I mean, I didn't know anything about it. And so I did, you know, deep Google research, which I do not recommend. And I did it just to see what was not there. And I thought, how do we put like the real information there? And it's very highly genetic.
Yeah.
And the woman who was doing the above the title kind of genetic research in this, I reached out to her. And so then 2010, there was the John Ritter Research Program in Aortic and Vascular Diseases, which is genetic research done in Houston.
Fantastic.
So we have moved the bar, or whatever the F people say. But every time, you know, you and I talk about John, it's John. Yep. It's not an aortic disease.
By the way, since you brought up USC Theater, you know that I have a very esteemed degree in drama from USC. And if can I tell you how many times I had to sit through a John Blankenship story about how great John Ritter was when he was at USC? So I was already predisposed to not like him.
Through a John Ritter story, hearing how great Blankenship was.
I'd hear one more effing. And then he could not have been. I just remember how generous of spirit he was. He was so sweet to me when he came and did I've Got a Secret.
He was really... You know, here's something crazy. That's not crazy. Of all the blah, 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 it was interesting because John was most absolutely turned on by if I was good at something, if I was smart. You know what I mean? Yeah. When I was quick, when I was, and he said one time to me early on, I'm talking problem child one times, like 90, 19. Well, I remember as far as the eye could see, orange groves, whatever. And he said at one point, oh, you're the funniest woman I know. And I'm like, wow. That's sexist. I'm like, why do I have to be the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be the funniest person, you know, don't think of me as a woman. And he's like, that could be tough. But it made me so happy on that show because in real time, there was a lot of improv going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. You were so hilarious. But I just remember he was so sweet and complimentary to me in a way, not in that Hollywood Bolt kind of way, in a way that where you're like, oh, my God, it was not just John Ritter that said that, but, you know, just that he was so generous of heart and spirit, as you know.
And he became just absolute torrid lovers with Jim J. Bullock.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes. That's well, we all did. Yeah. Yeah. We've all been Jim J.
Right.
We've all done Jim J. Bullock once.
We've all done at least once.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell you, I have so much insomnia. I watched some movie with John Ritter and Connie Selica from, I don't know, 1937.
The Last Fling.
It was fantastic.
It was 1937. The first talkies.
It was the first talkies.
Connie Selica's voice sounded like this. Glenn Close actually dubbed her. That's what we call Glenn Close, but no cigar. Yes, for free.
Right.
Oh my God, I didn't even turn around.
You're the funniest woman ever.
All right, you're the funniest woman ever. John Ritter was right. JohnRitterFoundation.org. Amy Asbeck, yes, we love you. What's good?
Oh.
What's that?
Oh, what's that?
That's John's dad, Tex Ritter.
Yes, yes.
Who probably died of an aortic dissection. John's brother had an aortic aneurysm in the exact same place as John's, but got it treated.
Oh, wow. You are doing such good work. I miss you. We love you so much. Come back anytime, all right?
Tell Jody I said hi.
Hi.
What? She's my friend.
She knows another funny redhead.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a redhead, Stephanie.
Neither am I.
We established this.
I know. I shared a dressing room with you. Okay. That was a beef joke. Okay, love you.
Did I tell you my joke?
No.
What does a woman in pantyhose and Brooklyn have in common?
What?
Flatbush. Good night.
Flatbush. Yay. All right. Good night, Amy Asbeck.
Thank you, Amy.
And honest to God, good luck.
How powerful powerful as Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.